Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. We're studying the book of 2 Peter. We are in chapter 1. This is a great chapter that should encourage all of us as New Testament Christians. I'm encouraged tonight as I'm hearing it rain outside. I'm hoping that it will wash all of the cedar pollen away and we will be able to breathe once again. But tonight it is good to be here to be able to open God's Word. And as we study God's Word together tonight, all of us should be excited that we are allowing God to encourage us and to guide us along the way as we study His Word. I hope we learn to have a deeper appreciation for the Word of God. You know, what our first century brethren were reading, what they were hearing from Peter is what we are looking at tonight. And just that truth should fascinate all of us. What Peter has to say is very, very important. And as we looked at the background and as we began chapter 1 last week, you remember we talked about the reality of salvation. As long as Peter was alive, as we will see later on in our study, Peter was going to put the brethren in remembrance. And you remember the phrase that we looked at? Of these things. Well, the things that Peter is talking about is what he discusses in the previous verses of chapter 1. And when we go back to chapter 1, we see that Peter is talking to us or reminding us of the reality of salvation. And you'll notice there in verse number 1, we have obtained a like precious faith. We have obtained a like precious faith, Peter says, through the righteousness of God. Another way of saying that is we have obtained a like precious faith through the gospel, because the gospel reveals the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals that plan of righteousness. And oh, how we need to thank God for that plan of righteousness. Because when we obey that plan of salvation, we can obtain a like precious faith. And so again, Peter reminds them of the reality of their salvation. As he continues to talk about their salvation, we see in verse 2 and 4 that these Christians have resources. And so Peter reminds them of the resources they have in salvation. Notice some of the resources. Beginning at verse number 2, we have God's grace and we have God's peace. And that peace and that grace is increased. It is multiplied as we grow in knowledge. We'll have more to say about spiritual growth later on in our lesson. But Peter, as far as I remember, is the only apostle that really puts it like this. You'll notice Paul talks about God's grace and mercy, but Peter mentions something here that I think is interesting and noteworthy, that grace and that peace multiplies as we grow spiritually speaking. And as we grow spiritually speaking, I believe we understand how much we need the grace of God and the peace of God. As we think about God's grace, it reminds us of God's continual forgiveness. It reminds us of the help that we have from God as we go through this life. And according to Hebrews 4:14 through 16, that when we approach God in prayer, when we come before His throne of grace, He wants us to know that that's what we'll find. We'll find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. And the peace that Peter mentions here is the same peace that Paul talks about in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7. It's the peace that passeth all understanding. But when you read Philippians 4, 6 through 8, you'll see that it's that peace that passeth all understanding that guards or protects our heart. And so that grace and that peace is multiplied. Grace and peace, those are some of the resources that we have in salvation that God provides for us. As you continue to look at the resources, we see there in verse number 3, Peter wants Christians to know that God has given us everything that we need to know pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge. Already, Peter's mentioned the word knowledge twice, and he's going to mention it again as we will study later on in our study. He mentions knowledge there in verse 2, he mentions knowledge there in verse 3, and then he'll mention knowledge again in verse number 5. Knowledge is important. We're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But again, when we think about what Peter is saying in verse 3, Peter again is reminding us of the resources that we have in salvation in Christ Jesus, the riches that we have. As we go through life, we need God's help. We need these resources. We lean upon God and we seek His help. Let me explain or let me show you how valuable these resources are. As you think about verse 3 in a very practical way, God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. If we are challenged with suffering, you realize that there are a host of passages that talk to us about suffering. And God's Word teaches us, as we've already studied from the book of 1 Peter, why we suffer. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 is a great passage on suffering. If you're suffering because of righteousness, Peter says, don't be surprised, don't be ashamed. And when you suffer, you commit yourself to God. All of those thoughts are found in the book of 1 Peter. Again, God provides those resources. If we're suffering in this life, again, He provides that help through His Word. As I mentioned this morning, life is full of trouble. Life is full of trials. And God has given us instruction. God has given us guidance that can help us during those times of trial. Brother Leonard mentioned temptation in his prayer. You and I are going to be tempted. And God, through His Word, again, has given us resources to help us overcome temptation. We know how we're tempted. We know who tempts us. We know from 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, that there is a way of escape. And so we're thankful that God is helping us in all of this. Or you take the subject of death. In Hebrews 9, 27 and 28, the writer says it's appointed unto man once to die. All of us, if time continues, we're going to pass on from this life. Every one of us will experience this appointment, but God gives us resources to prepare us for that day. When it comes to death for the child of God, death is not doom. The Bible describes it as departure. As Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he was ready to depart from this world. That's how he viewed death, as a departure. Really, he viewed death in this way, in Philippians 1, verse 21. For me, to die is gain. To die is to go home and to be with the Lord. And again, the Bible teaches us about the reality of death, and it prepares us for death. Blessed are the dead, Revelation 14, verse number 13, which die in the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 12, precious in the sight are the death of His saints. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, interesting verse, that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That is true if you're prepared, if you're a child of God. Resources. resources that prepare us for that appointment. Or you think about finances. I love the subject of finances. I've always been intrigued by that subject. I like studying those things. I like thinking about those things. But do you realize that the Bible teaches us to be good stewards? It's required a man to be a good steward. Read the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs will teach you to stay out of debt so that you can be in a position to help others and do good works. You know, one of the major problems that we have in our world today is debt. And I will tell you, you will be surprised at what Solomon says about the subject of debt and being a good steward, whether you look at the Old Testament, whether you look at the New Testament. Or what about our emotions? We are emotional people. And you realize that God has given us instructions that will help us deal with our emotions, to keep our emotions in check. You can name any subject and you will see that God's Word has something to say. That's the point that Peter is making. God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through that knowledge. And we hurt ourselves, spiritually speaking, when we don't know the Word of God. When we think about those subjects that I mentioned, the first thing that our minds should think is Scripture. And we have to train ourselves to think on that spiritual level, if you please, because it's not going to happen by accident. You know, the subjects that I mentioned, most people will turn to different resources to gain insight, to gain education along these lines and how to deal with these different matters. You see people turning to maybe the Reader's Digest to find answers instead of God's Word, you see. We have to learn to think Scripture as we think about the various areas of life and godliness, because Scripture gives us so much insight into any of these subjects that we talked about when it comes to living out life here upon this earth. Again, Peter wants us to know the resources that we have in Christ Jesus. But let me mention another resource, and we didn't mention this one last week. It's found in verse number 4. Wherefore, Peter says, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Another resource that you and I have as the children of God. We have God's promises. And as we think about those promises, we have the promise of His forgiveness, Hebrews 8, 12 and 13. We have the promise of His presence, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. We have the promise of God's protection. I mentioned that earlier from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Again, we have God's protection. When you go back to the book of 1 Peter, we see here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, Peter says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That word kept in the original language means to protect. And so again, we have that protection. God has promised to protect us. If we're faithful to God, if we are turning to God and trusting in God, depending upon God, God is going to protect us from the evil one. Again, the promises of God serve as a resource that we have in salvation. And I'm thankful for the promises of God. I'm thankful for the promise of eternal life. Titus 1, verse number 2. There's so much more to look forward to after this life. And that's what God has promised eternal life to those who are faithful, according to Revelation 2, verse number 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, Paul says the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. Why is Paul saying that? Paul was wanting us to recognize that all the promises that we have in Jesus Christ, again, God will keep every one of them. You can bank on it. You can be sure that God will keep His promises. And we should understand and study about the promises of God, because there are so many throughout God's Word. But notice how Peter ties this in here in verse number 4. He says again, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers." And I want you to notice this interesting phrase, "that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." What is Peter saying? You are partakers of the divine nature. You think about the divine nature, we're talking about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And when I think about what Peter is saying here, it reminds me of the activity of the Godhead. We see the activity of the Godhead when God created this world. You'll notice how the book of Genesis begins. "In the beginning, God Elohim." God is being used in a plural sense, speaking of the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1, verse number 16 teaches us that Christ was very active in creation. In the book of Job, we learn that the Holy Spirit was very active in creation. But when we think about God recreating us in Christ Jesus, spiritually speaking, we see that the Godhead was very active. God is the one that devised this eternal plan of redemption. It was hid in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ brought it to fruition by emptying Himself of His equality and partaking of flesh, being made like a man so He could die on the cross. And we see that, in fact, the Holy Spirit revealed it. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. And it's because of that truth that you and I obey, that we can be set free, that we can purify ourselves, as Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. And so what Peter is saying is, when you obey the gospel, you are partakers of the divine nature, and you have escaped the corruption. Peter is talking about salvation. And that's what God has promised to every individual that will obey Him. Salvation. Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. And so when we obey the demands of the gospel, when we hear the gospel and believe the gospel, when we obey the gospel, we are partakers of the divine nature. What do we partake of? Salvation. And salvation is a gift of God. We learn in Romans 6, verse number 23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so each one of us has that promise of salvation if we will be partakers of the divine nature. That's what God has promised. If we will obey the gospel. The gospel must be believed and the gospel must be obeyed if we're going to be saved. And so Peter talks about, number one, the reality of our salvation. Number two, he talks about the resources of our salvation in verses 2-4. Now let me show you why Peter is doing this. Peter wants us to grow. Now that we have been partakers of the divine nature, now that we have experienced salvation, we've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. God wants us to grow. He wants us to develop spiritually speaking. And if we understand salvation, if we understand what we are a part of, we are going to grow. And we're going to challenge ourselves to grow spiritually speaking. As we will see in verse number 5, it takes the proper motivation. And we have to apply diligence. Again, we see that God provides the resources so that we can grow. But each one of us is responsible for our own spiritual growth. I can encourage you and you encourage me. We encourage one another, but I can't force you. I can't make you grow. And God can't force you to grow. Growing spiritually speaking is a individual thing, individual responsibility. But it's something that we must do spiritually speaking if we're going to be pleasing to God. Because if we don't grow, as we will see in these verses, Peter says we're going to forget, we're going to regress, we're going to go in the wrong direction. And Peter even says we can forget about what Christ has done for us. I hope we never forget about what Christ has done for us. I hope we never forget about the sweet salvation that we have in Christ. And so beginning at verse number 5 and following, Peter is encouraging all of us not to neglect our salvation. Don't neglect your salvation. It's too precious. There is too much at stake. And so Peter wants us to grow. Remember what I said in the book, or what I said in the background information? The book of 2 Peter is all about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth defined, chapter 1. The challenge to spiritual growth, chapter 2. Incentives for spiritual growth. Peter, in this inspired epistle, gives us reasons, incentives for growing, for being prepared. And we will talk about that in chapter 3. Now, I know I've talked about 2 Peter chapter 1 before, but I want to mention a point before we begin looking at verse number 5, because maybe you've heard this point for the first time. And it's a point that we all need to be reminded of. I love the way Brother Marshall Keeble began this section when he would teach it, looking at the Christian virtues. And as I said, maybe you've heard this before, but Brother Keeble would say that there are 5 steps in the church. He would go through the plan of salvation and he would talk about those steps of salvation. And then he would turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5, and he would then say there are 7 steps into heaven. 7 steps into heaven, where Peter says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Those are the 7 steps that Brother Keeble was highlighting. And those are the steps that are necessary if we're going to grow, if we're going to be faithful. And so as we begin looking at verse 5 down through verse number 7, if we're going to show progress, spiritually speaking, each one of these 7 areas is important. And we need to be growing in every one of these areas if we're going to grow spiritually speaking. And so after we have tasted salvation 1 through 4, we see beginning at verse number 5 and following, God wants us to grow. You see the same thing, by the way, in the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all things. The second part of the Great Commission has to do with spiritual growth. I think sometimes we put more emphasis on the first part of salvation, and we emphasize the steps of salvation, and we emphasize baptism, and then after a person is baptized, we just leave them hanging. Spiritually speaking, we don't help them grow. Both are important. Once a person becomes saved again, they need to grow. By the way, you see the same thing in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. After a person goes down into the water to be baptized, verse 4 says they are raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, there's a new life that we are to now live. There's a way that God wants us to live. He wants us to develop spiritually speaking. This can really tie into what we said this morning. Why does God want us to grow spiritually speaking? So that we will be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. So that we can influence others out of darkness into the light. So they can be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So that they too can go to heaven one of these days. I have this responsibility. You have this responsibility. Listen to what Peter says. And besides this, giving all diligence. Listen to what he says. All diligence. Add to your faith. You make every effort on your part to grow as a New Testament Christian. I want you to think about a couple passages that really go along these lines. Giving all diligence. Look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just highlight this verse and we'll come back to 2 Peter. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I like what Paul says. By the grace of God, verse number 10, I am what I am. Now, Paul is talking about his apostleship. He's talking about the salvation that he experienced. This morning in Bible class, we talked about his past, what he was. But that was his past. He obtained grace and mercy through faith and love, which was in Christ Jesus. Paul obeyed the gospel. He became a new person. But that was just the beginning. Oh, after that point, the Apostle Paul practiced what we're seeing here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse number 5. And this is Paul's way of saying it here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And listen to what he says. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I love this. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Paul wasn't in a spiritual contest to try to outdo others, to be puffed up about himself. It was all about the grace of God. The Apostle Paul appreciated God's grace and mercy to such an extent, he says, it was that grace that pushed me. It was that grace that motivated me to be all that I can. You know, I like working out, and you know, sometimes it's easier to work out with a buddy, isn't it? To have somebody there to kind of encourage you. Come on, you can do it. You can lift it. One more rep, one more lap. It's a lot easier when there's motivation. Well, here is Paul's motivation. What was it? It was the salvation. It was the grace of God that was bestowed upon him. It wasn't bestowed upon him in vain. No, he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. And I love this last part. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And besides this, Peter says, you give all diligence to add to your faith. The point that we're making is this. Spiritual growth, and listen to me very carefully, because I could go through this, and most of you probably have heard this over and over again, and it's good to hear it over and over again, but I want you to get this point. Do you know where spiritual growth begins? A lot of times we think it begins with virtue, but that's not where spiritual growth begins. Spiritual growth begins with the right motivation. It begins with the right motivation, giving all diligence. I have to have the proper motivation if I'm going to grow spiritually speaking. It's something that I must want. It's not hard to figure out why some Christians don't grow. And you've seen it. I've seen it. We've all seen Christians become spiritually stagnant. They just stop growing. And sometimes we have a hard time maybe figuring out why people stop growing. Again, a lot of it has to do with motivation. Why do people stop working out physically speaking? Because they lack motivation. Who wants to get up at 5 o'clock and go run around and lift some kind of weights? That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, who in the world would want to do that? But boy, I tell you what, sometimes people have that kind of discipline and motivation. They're up at 5 o'clock and they're working out. I've got one answer for that. Bodily exercise profiteth little, according to Scripture. Okay, but no, seriously speaking, it takes motivation. If we're going to grow spiritually speaking, it takes motivation. I believe to a degree that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. If I don't have the proper motivation, I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to pray to my God every day. I'm not going to open His Word and study. I'm not talking about just a casual read. Picking up your Bible that's sitting next to your lampstand and reading one chapter a day. I'm not discouraging that. I think that's great. That's a good place to start. But I'm talking about studying God's Word. Really getting in and studying God's Word. Understanding it and making application of it. There's plenty of application that can be made. There's plenty of room for spiritual growth in our lives. But we have to have the right motivation. God, I want to grow. God, I want to do better. And so if I have that motivation, I'm going to give all diligence. This is going to be a priority in my life. Every day I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to spend time in His Word, because that's how I communicate to God. And when I study His Word, that's how He communicates with me. And you know, when we have the proper motivation, that's when we will exercise ourselves, according to 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, unto godliness. And listen, when you have the motivation, and when you're exercising yourselves unto godliness, you know the next point, right? Results. Results. Everybody wants to see results. But spiritually speaking, we can see results when we give all diligence to grow spiritually speaking. Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, I want you to add to your faith. Faith is really the foundation of our Christianity. These are the things that we are to add to our faith. Romans 5 verse 1 says that we're justified by faith. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says that we're to walk by faith. We learn in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. 1 John 5 verse number 4 and 5, we overcome this wicked world by our faith. Our faith is important. We have to put our faith in God, and we have to be faithful. And so the things that we're about to read about, we're to be adding these things to our faith. And when we give all diligence to add these graces, these Christian virtues to our faith is going to grow, and we will walk by faith, and we will live by faith, and we will overcome this world by faith. God is giving us the recipe. God is teaching us how to grow. You have to have the right motivation, and you have to be growing in the right areas, if you please. And notice these areas. Number one, Peter says, virtue. Virtue is that moral courage to do what is right, period. Even when everybody else isn't doing what is right. Moral courage keeps us from following a multitude, Exodus 23, verse 2, to do evil. It's easy to follow a multitude to do evil, to join in with the crowd where everybody else is doing it. I might as well do it too. But to come out and to be that light, to make a difference, to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that to this person because that's not right. It takes virtue. It takes that moral courage that is willing to make sacrifices for doing what is right. Add to your faith, Peter says, that moral courage to do what is right. And then he says, and to virtue, here's our word again, knowledge. Now the knowledge that Peter mentions here is an intellectual knowledge. It has to do with teaching, truth, that we learn from God's Word. I can't learn how to live or do what is right when I don't know what is right, when I don't know what is pleasing or unpleasing to God. I learn that, I gain that through that intellectual knowledge. And it's not just the intellectual knowledge, but that's where it begins. Really, when you read Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, I like this point. It begins with an intellectual knowledge that really translates into an intimate knowledge. We take that intellectual knowledge that we gain from God's Word, we make application of it, and you know what it does? It brings you closer to God, you see. The intimate knowledge. But it begins with an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures. Jesus told the Sadducees, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. God wants us to know the Scriptures. As Timothy, you were taught the Scriptures from a little child. And the Scriptures, they can make us wise, as Paul would tell Timothy, unto salvation. Add to your faith that moral courage and that intellectual knowledge. And then Peter says in verse 6, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance is speaking of self-control. It takes a lot of discipline to be a Christian because there are times where we have to say no if we're going to keep ourselves from giving in to temptation. Again, self-control. Temperance. And Peter says, and to temperance, patience, or endurance, steadfastness, this idea of not giving up. That's determination we need to have as Christians. I'm not going to give up. What the devil wants more than anything is for me to throw in the spiritual towel, to give up. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 22, it's he that endures to the end shall be saved. In Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep your eye on the goal. Again, self-control, endurance, perseverance. If we're going to go to heaven, we have to endure to the end. I'm convinced that's why so many times Paul describes the Christian life like a race. We can't stop running the race. We have to finish the end if we're going to receive the prize, if we're going to receive the crown. And then Peter says, and to patience, godliness. You see, the more we grow, the more we become like God. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, we are to be imitators of God. How do we do that? We grow spiritually speaking. And when we grow spiritually speaking, we become more and more like our God. But then we see how we treat one another is also a matter of spiritual growth. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. We learn in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and following that we are to be kind, tender-hearted toward one another. How we treat one another really matters. Sometimes you see the way others treat people, and really it shows a lack of spiritual growth on their part. They lash out. They take vengeance. They get mad. We're not to be like that as the children of God. We are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. We see here that that is a matter of spiritual growth. And Peter says there in verse 7, and to brotherly kindness, love. Love is the motivation behind our Christianity. Paul says, let all things be done in love. We are to grow in our love for God. We are to grow in our love for one another. I'm going to end by looking at verse number 8. As we talk about spiritual growth, listen to what Peter says. Lord willing, next week we will talk about the assurance that we have from spiritual growth. But listen to what Peter says. For if these things be in you. What Peter is talking about right here is conditional. As we said, God cannot force us to become this. God cannot force you to grow. He wants you to grow. He encourages you to grow. If you appreciate what He's done for you, you will grow, like Paul. And so Peter says, for if these things be in you, and listen to it, abound. If they continue to increase in you, abound, they make you, that ye shall neither be barren, the idea is idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does God want from us? Verse number 8. He wants us to live a fruitful life. How do we live a fruitful life? By adding the Christian graces to our life. And when the Christian graces, the things that we read about in verse 5 and 7, are abounding in our life, we're like that fruit tree that produces more and more fruit. You know, verse 8 really reminds me of what the psalmist declared in Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then in verse 3 it says, he shall be like a tree that is planted by the waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Isn't that a beautiful reading? And isn't it go right along with what Peter is saying right here in 2 Peter chapter 2, 5 through 8? Oh, if we will grow like God wants us to grow, God's going to bless us. Life will be good. We will experience the good life, the Christian life. We will endure to the end and we will reap the eternal reward. You see, when we live according to the Christian virtues, we're just like that tree that is planted by the river, where that tree has that source of nutrients, that source of water. Spiritually speaking, the Christian virtues provide that living water so that we can endure spiritually speaking. May God help each one of us to grow like God wants us to grow. The lesson is yours. Lord willing, we will pick up in verse 9 next week. Let me encourage you to continue to read this great epistle, because it can encourage all of us to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. The lesson is yours. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now?